In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered everything. And over the waters of the deep, the Spirit of God was hovering. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from the darkness. He called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. On this, the very first day of creation, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I remember once working with a youth group several years ago, and we were discussing the creation story. We were sharing together about these days of creation. We talked about what God made on each of the days and why each of God's creations were important. And I remember specifically talking about this creation story with this particular youth group because one of the students was very inquisitive. And as we were talking, she asked the group, she said, "Well, where does the light come from?" I'm confused. I said, "Well, God." I felt like I was talking in the Sunday school lesson with the children. Jesus. God. God spoke and he created the light. What do you mean? He can do that. He's God. And she said, "Yeah, I get that. I understand that. That's not my question." She says, "Where does the light come from? On day one, God creates the light, but there is no sun. The sun doesn't come until day four. Where is the light coming from?" Very good question from a very insightful young woman. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And whatever that light is, it's not sunlight. It's not coming from the sun. The sun was not created until day four. So the light has to come from a different source. So we understand that the light comes from God. God is the source of that light. Now flash forward several thousand millennia. God has created. He's created the world. We've gone through Genesis. We've gone through Exodus and gone through the Old Testament. And now we've come to Jesus. God has sent Jesus into the world. And in a way that shows his incredible power and God's omnipotence above everything else, God connects a theme that runs throughout all of history. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." This light that comes from God radiates into the dark places of our lives. Jesus came to show us the way through the darkness. In the beginning, God created the light, a light that originates with him, a light that ripples out into the universe and then finds itself wrapped up completely in the person of Jesus. As last week we learned, Jesus has come into the world to fix our brokenness, to light our path as we stumble around in the dark as people. On any given day, most of us are frighteningly alone. Any given day, most of us are afraid. We try hard to make our lives meaningful, but then we end up giving up because we're disillusioned and we're disappointed because the weight of darkness in our lives seems to press in around us. I really like the way pastor and author Steve Wines speaks about this issue of light. He said, "Let there be light. These are the words that ushered in day one. But before there was light, there was darkness and there was chaos. The earth lacked shape and was totally empty, and a dark fog laid over the deep." The Hebrew phrase used to describe that which lacked shape and was totally empty before anything else was created is this: tohu vahu. Tohu va vohu. I want you to say that with me. I'm going to say that one more time, and then you're going to say it. Tohu va vohu. Ready? Tohu va vohu. Tohu va vohu. That is what it means. Tohu va vohu describes the empty places in your life where you can't see and you don't know and you don't hear. Tohu va vohu. How often we feel stuck in this empty place. This empty place is the icky blackness, the chaos, the emptiness just before light shows up. We've all felt this way, right? We've all been here when we feel stuck and we don't know how to get unstuck from a situation. When we go through a divorce, when we lose our jobs, when we experience loss of any kind, at pretty much any stage of raising your children. Tohu va vohu. I remember one moment in my life where I was studying to be a pastor, actually. And I had gone through the process. Cindy and I had been married. We married going into seminary. I'd gone through my classwork. I had gotten my degree from school. But to be a Presbyterian minister, you can't just get the degree. You actually have to do something with the Presbyterian Church called the ordination exams. And they're a lot like what the bar exam might be for a lawyer. There are several of them. And I had passed several of them, but there was one that I had failed. And I remember receiving that no pass marked on the paper, that failure. And I remember feeling like I wanted to become a minister. I felt that God was calling me there. I'd spent all these years training for this, and now I'd come to this point, and this one piece of paper had stopped me from being able to progress. I was stuck. Tohu va vohu. I could do nothing. I felt like I had let Cindy down. I'd let myself down. I'd let the church people who had been praying for me and had supported me financially, I'd let them down. I felt like I'd let God down. I was stuck. There was no way for me to fix my situation. In Exodus chapter 3, we read of another story of someone who experienced something like this. Moses. Moses, who spent 40 years in a wasteland before finally hearing God's voice giving him direction. 40 years, think about that. Not the 40 years where they wandered around in the desert after the Exodus, but 40 years prior to that. You may remember the story. Moses was a prince in Egypt. One day he was out and he saw an Israelite slave being abused, and so he killed the slave master who was doing the abusing. And scared for his life, Moses took the man and he buried him in the sand. He was confused, and so he ran. And he took off and he ran into the desert. And there he spent the next 40 years of his life hiding from his past. In the wilderness, in the desert, in the wasteland, in the darkness of those years, Moses hid from his past and he searched for a way forward. He likely prayed for strength and courage as he thought about what his life had become. And my guess is in those dark moments that he wept. That he wept. And then one day, God met him in his darkness. One day while he was tending a flock of that his father-in-law had owned, Moses saw a most peculiar sight. He looked over and he saw that there was this bush that was on fire and that was burning. But it wasn't being consumed. It was not an uncommon occurrence to see dry brush in the desert combust. That makes sense. There's plants, there's foliage out there. It dries up in the sunlight and boom, it starts to burn. But this particular bush was burning, but it wasn't disappearing. Moses said, "This is a strange occurrence." Because the angel of the Lord was in that bush speaking to Moses. Into Moses' darkness, into his wandering and into his fearful existence when he felt lost, when he felt afraid, when he was confused and when he was stuck, God entered in. God spoke light into Moses' life and began something new. And in that moment, when the burning bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed, in that moment, when God was speaking to Moses, it was a moment of light, not just for Moses, but for an entire people. In that moment, God did something new. Listen as I read from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock out to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And the Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." It's time for you to go back. These were the words that God said to Moses that redefined his life. These were the words that changed his purpose for living and ushered him into a new beginning. Can you see it? Can you see the darkness is starting to fade and the light is starting to appear? So Moses goes back, and what does he run into? A wall named Pharaoh. Pharaoh who would not be moved. He would not let the Israelites go free. So God sent plagues to get Pharaoh's attention. He turned the Nile River into blood. Then he sent frogs and gnats and flies. Eventually, the livestock died. Boils began to appear on people's skin, each in succession. Then hail was sent and destroyed these people's crops. And then the locusts came in after that and devoured whatever the hail did not destroy. And then came the plague of darkness. The plague of darkness is the one I want to focus on, because it brings us full circle this morning. In the beginning, on day one of creation, the world was dark and God created light. Exodus chapter 10 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand towards the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt, darkness that can be felt.' So Moses stretched out his hand towards the sky, and total darkness covered Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anything or move about for 3 days, yet the Israelites had light in the places where they lived." Did you catch that? Complete and total darkness that could be felt covered the land. No one could see or move about for 3 days, and yet the Israelites had light where they lived. Again, we have to ask ourselves, how is that possible? Do you see how this is similar to the story in creation, day one? We think about light in terms of natural light. But if this had been light from the sun or light from a candle or light from a fire, the Egyptians would have been able to see also. We read this and we have to wonder, what was this light that the Israelites had that the Egyptians did not have? The Israelites were living in total darkness. They were in despair. They'd been oppressed. They had been beaten and they'd been enslaved. They felt lost and confused. They couldn't save themselves. They were trapped. There was nothing that they could do. But God doesn't leave them alone. He speaks light into their darkness. Moses eventually leads God's people out of Egypt through the Red Sea on to the Promised Land. The ninth plague in Egypt anticipates a new day for Israel. And the point for us is this, please don't miss this, that many times our new beginnings happen in the corners of the shadows of our life. The new beginnings that we need happen in the shadows. Have you ever found yourself needing a new beginning. But you had no idea how to start. You knew that where you were was not where you wanted to be, but you had no idea how to get yourself to the place that you wanted to go. Or better yet, how do you even begin to move in the direction you want to be going? You feel stuck. When you're in a place like that, your biggest obstacle is to decide, how do you get past whatever darkness is in front of you? How do you get past that which stands in your way? And it's for moments like these that God says, let there be light. Let there be a new day one in your life. Let there be a new beginning for you. On day one, God brings light, and he makes a way for you to be separated from the darkness in which you are lost and alone. He separates you out. On day one, you realize that you don't have the strength. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the charisma or the ability to fix you. On day one, God shows up and says, I will rescue you. Day one is about creation overtaking the dark abyss that surrounds you. It's on day one that we recognize our ability to escape the darkness, not because of our own strength, but because of God. It's on day one that we're rescued out of our own powerlessness. The unexpected light comes just as we realize that we can't see. And then our faith becomes a little bit more clear. Last week, many of us wrote down on a piece of paper, on an index card, I asked you to write down something that you felt would never change in your life. You may remember that. Something that you felt would never change in your life. And I asked the congregation to write that down on a card. And we concluded the service by ripping up those cards. And we threw them out and about, asking God for a new beginning, one that only he could orchestrate. And after the service, a woman came up to me following the service, and she asked me for a couple of minutes. She says, Pastor, can I have 5 minutes of your time to share something? I said, sure. And this is maybe 15 minutes after the service. And we went in my office, and she told me this story. She said, my sister died several years ago, and it's been really hard on my family. We were pretty close, and when she was alive, our kids, we did stuff together. We were tight-knit as a family. But after she died, there's been a separation. And I'm finding that I've become more estranged from my nieces these days. And she went on to tell me that last week or the week before, during Holy Week, she said around about Good Friday, she received, in her words, a very cold letter. It was typed up, and it was sent to her by her niece, accusing her of things, being very angry, very hurtful. And she said she received this letter during Lent, during Holy Week, and she said, I'm not one for breaking down, but I cried. It was too much. And so she shared with me this story, and she says, I love my sister, I love my nieces, and I have no idea how our relationship had gotten this bad. She said, after the service, you know, you had been asking people to write things down on the card. And, you know, I wanted to write down the relationship with so-and-so, but I couldn't bring myself to do it when you asked me to do it. But as I went through the message, as I listened to you talk, by the end of the sermon, I did write her name down, and I said, this is just impossible. It can never change. And she took it, and she ripped it up, and she threw it with everybody else. At the close of the service, she left, and she went out to her car, and she realized that she left her phone in her car, and as she was picking it up because she's getting ready to leave, she looks, and there's a text message on her phone. And she hits her phone, and she opens the text message, and there's a message from her niece. And it says, Happy Easter. She came back in to the into my office, and said, I needed to tell you that. Because I see that as a new beginning. Into her dark, chaotic, messed up world, she cried out to God. With pen and paper, she cried out, acknowledging, God, I can't do this on my own. Only you can fix this. This is impossible for me. Only you can do it. And God answered her, let there be light. In our meeting last week in my office, this woman gave me permission to share this story. She said, I couldn't believe how fast that worked. She was still in shock. She's not certain about the future of the relationship. She doesn't think it's a fix-all, but she absolutely is confident that God heard her cry in that moment and answered her prayer. Last week, the rest of us took those pieces of paper and we wrote on them and we threw them into the sanctuary. And afterwards, the kids helped me clean these up. And then Bryn came along and he and I talked about this. And he put this together. And he put all the pieces of paper onto that picture. To show that Jesus, if you can see his face in there, Jesus will take all of our pain. He'll take our uncertainty. He'll take what we have to give him. And he'll be here with us. I'd like to invite the ushers if they would come forward as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive communion this morning.